Welcome to Roots, Runners, and Rhizomes, Health and Healing from the Underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni.
This show is dedicated to exploring healing and wellness from a liberatory perspective, critiquing top-down systems and institutions.
Instead, we look up and around from below and alongside, the way roots and rhizomes grow.
Our show has not been evaluated by the FDA or any official licensing body, and our intention is not to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease on the air.
By providing discussion, critique, and information from a variety of viewpoints, we hope you'll feel more empowered, informed, and resourced as you explore your own options for self-care and working with different practitioners and providers.
Today we're going to be speaking with special guest Isabel Barton, but first Lauren is going to talk a little bit about her upcoming participation in the Allied Media Conference in Detroit. You may remember back in April we had a guest, Autumn Brown, who spoke a little bit about that conference. Lauren, when are you going to be leaving for the conference? When does the conference take place?
Well, the conference takes place, I believe, Thursday. It starts Thursday evening-ish and goes through till Sunday, and it's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be leaving Wednesday to head down to the city, and I want to thank everyone out there who's given me little monetary support in order to get there. I really appreciate that, and I'm excited to go. And basically, the Allied Media Conference, I've never been there, but I've heard it's a really incredible gathering, and from what I understand, it's a ton of folks go under the idea of using participatory media to help facilitate and better the work that we do within the community organizing work that folks do all over the country. So using media as a way to better that work and further that work.
And it's a really expansive and spacious definition of media, right? Because
right.
You're going to be doing a healing track.
Right. So the Rock Dove Collective, which is a health collective that I've been organizing with for 5 years, has been working to co-organize the Healing Justice Track, which is all about I think getting together with different organizers and providers and health justice organizers around the country to talk about how to both use media to better do the work that we're doing, as well as talking about health and access to health from a more radical and social justice standpoint. So there's going to be folks from the disability justice community and folks who have been creating really amazing community health centers based on like sliding scale models and mm-hmm. alternative economies, excuse me. So we'll be talking about that. The Rock Dove Collective will be participating with other folks on a panel or workshop that's about creating alternative economies. Mm-hmm. So accessing healthcare by barter or mutual aid, sliding scale. So I think it's going to be really great.
So there's panels and workshops. You guys are also, practitioners are also providing services, right?
Right. So there's going to be a healing space at the conference, which is going to be the first of its kind at the Allied Media Conference this year. And that kind of came out of the U.S. Social Forum, where that was a big focus there. So I will be practicing herbal medicine in that space.
Great.
And we'll be supporting folks who are attending the conference with herbs. I just packed up a whole bunch of tinctures and teas, and I'm excited to bring them out and share them with folks.
Awesome.
And I'm happy to do a report back, because like I said, it's the first for me. So
that's great. Yeah. So Monday, July 18th is our next show, and we'll have a report back show with Lauren and hopefully also Autumn Brown, and on the phone maybe someone else who attended. So we can look forward to hearing all about that. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. if folks want to look up Allied Media Conference online, I'll put the website link on our Facebook page.
AlliedMedia.org.
AlliedMedia.org. Yeah, so you guys can look that up in Detroit this week.
Yeah.
Awesome, great. All right, so we're here today with Isabel Barton. Welcome.
Welcome, Isabel.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you both. Sorry. Thank you both for giving me the opportunity to tell this story about my experience this winter, which was quite exceptional.
That's great.
Yeah.
First, let's talk a little bit about how long you've been living here in the area, where you're from, and your kind of history in the area, and then we'll hear your story about last winter.
I was born in Venezuela, and I've been in the States since 1974 with my two children.
Mm-hmm.
And
Oops, sorry, microphone.
For a few years, I lived upstate New York in a place called Sundown, very beautiful, in Ulster County. And while I was there, I set up a health food store in the town of Ellenville. That was 1976.
That's great.
Or 77. And that store is still there.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was my entry into the world of healing from a professional point of view, although I wasn't a professional healer, but I was selling a lot of books and herbs and getting to know that world through my research. And I was able to help a lot of people through that.
And how did you get into that in the first place? Did you have a personal healing crisis that led you to be interested in natural healing? Or were you just, it was, a lot of people were into it at the time and you checked it out?
It's a little bit of both, but mm-hmm. I think also, you know, I come from a country where there's still more tradition of home remedies than there is mm-hmm. here. I don't know how much that's true today, but mm-hmm. it certainly was when I was growing up and even when I was having my children. Mm-hmm. So you still could, still today, I think you can go to a pharmacy and buy herbs in little packets. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not like... It's a whole different thing. Yeah. And I had experiences where my mother had helped me heal something while mm-hmm. I was pregnant mm-hmm. With an herb. So that stayed in my mind. It was really a later situation mm-hmm. that really sunk everything into... you know, a comfortable place for me as a healer, which was after I had the health food store and went back to live in the city, and I had a problem with fibroids and went to see a doctor, and he showed me in the CAT scan how all these little excess where the fibroids were, and he told me that I had to have an operation right away. And I said, well, you know, I'll be back in 3 months. and see what we can do. And went home, and because of all the research I had done in the health food store with all the books, because I sold a lot of books there and herbs, then I did a lot of cross-referencing and found there was this one herb called Blue Flag, which is an iris, it's called Iris versicolor, mm-hmm. and that seemed to be the one that just had all the properties that I was looking for. So I started taking a tincture of 15 drops 3 times a day, mm-hmm. did that for 3 months and went back to the doctor, and he couldn't find anything. And he kept looking for scars in my body to see who had operated on me, and there was nothing left. And he was so freaked out that he never wanted to see me again.
Oh my!
Thought I was some kind of a witch or something.
That's such a great story, because it talks about, and part of the reason why you're here today is you know, we're talking about our own, taking care of our own health, and where sometimes, you know, the medical system that we're in, like, can't help us or can only help us so far, and what it means to have self-determination and autonomy around your own health. So I think it's hilarious that this doctor didn't want to ever see you again because you had healed yourself and had some knowledge that he couldn't offer you.
And that was
threatening to him, probably.
I think that's one of the problems that we have in the current medical system is in these countries, is that there is no communication between the mm-hmm. doctor and the patient. There is no right. understanding of the process. You're just giving a bunch of things, tests and medicines, that you have no idea what they do, or why they're there, or what, you know, how to relate to them. So you have no say in your own health.
Yes.
I think that if I have learned anything through my experience this winter, is that it's really my responsibility to keep my health mm-hmm. in a good condition, and that I have a say. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can change the situation with my body through preventive care.
Yes, so let's talk a little bit about the hacienda. That's been such a great influence and place for you in your life. Tell us how you learned about it, where it is, how you came to go there the first time.
Well, I had an injury on my hand, actually a double injury. I was filming a movie in Venezuela, a feature, and I was in a fisherman's boat, and I had my hand on the side of the boat, and another boat came, and a a wave rose the two together and clashed, and my hand was in between the two boats, so that was a big injury. And I didn't pay too much attention to it, and then I came back home and fell on my own staircase. missed the last step and fell on my same hand and had a series of sprains, and basically they were sprains and, you know, tore some ligaments. And so I did not have a good experience with the doctors that were treating me. And no matter what they did, it just got worse. Where the therapist would send me to the doctor, and the doctor would send me to the therapist, and it was just this like ping-pong ball, not getting anywhere, or getting worse and worse every time.
You weren't able to work, right? It was interfering with
Yeah, I do everything on the computer, and my right hand, I'm right-handed, and that was... And I couldn't garden, and I couldn't do any of the things that I love to do, and... The fear of your hand becoming handicapped is big, and I wasn't getting anywhere. It was getting worse. So I decided to go home, to go to the place where I grew up, and maybe I had heard of a doctor there that had healed my sister through exercises. So she had a spine problem, and so I went to see him. And he was very helpful in giving me back all of my movement that I had began to lose in my hand. But the prospect of continuing to take drugs, which is what he was telling me to do for the future, was not appealing to me, and I was looking for an alternative.
So you would have had to take drugs for the rest of your life, or just for a very long time?
Yeah, for a kind of indeterminate amount of time. Time. And it wasn't... I knew that I needed something that I could understand.
Sure.
Again, that's always the most important thing, that I can understand and that I have a hand on my own healing process. So as I was getting ready to come back, a little disappointed or quite a lot disappointed. And I got a call from my daughter who had just moved to Miami Beach and had met this man who at a party, and he said, "Mom, I have just met this wonderful doctor who has a healing center in an hacienda in a part of Venezuela that's quite beautiful, and it's the state of Carabobo." And he sounds fantastic, and he is agreed to see you, and he says he'll even pick you up. Because he's in Miami going to Venezuela, so he'll pick you up in Caracas and take you to the hacienda, which is 3 hours away, and you have a three-hour consultation in the car. Because I had a limited amount of time. I had a ticket, and it was December. And it was like there were no tickets to come back if I didn't come back that day. So a limited amount of time. So he said, you know, we'll have this long conversation in the car. And so he turned out to be the most amazing person. He's very kind, very enlightened, very dedicated, and full of love. Full of love. And that's, you know, that's just support. And you always know he's there. You know, so...
Well, picking you up from the airport, that kind of personal commitment, that is quite a change.
Yeah, that's,
right?
That's quite amazing.
From some of your other experiences.
Yes, that personal... You know, consideration to the patient is something you don't find often. So I got to the hacienda, and boy, that is such a beautiful place. It is a magical spot in the state of Carabobo, which is kind of in the fertile lands of Venezuela, on the way to the Andes Mountains from Caracas. And it is what they call the high plains. And so it's flat, but it's surrounded by quartz mountains and all around.
Wow.
So you get this really kind of secure sense of something is protecting you, and you're not sure what it is. And then later I found out that traditionally this has been a healing place in Venezuela, even for the Venezuelan Indians before the Spaniards arrived. This is where they would gather to heal. Because of the energy of the mountains. They knew the power of the quartz.
Wow.
So arriving at the hacienda was spectacular. It was... I have never been in an environment where everybody's like mantra is love. Everybody's wow. From the person who is at the gate to the person who's at the desk to the person who serves you the juices or the kitchen, the people in the kitchen or the therapists, the doctor, the dogs, the cats. I mean, everything and every person and every being in the hacienda is dedicated to love. And it sounds impossible or it sounds like it might be, I don't know, maybe corny or difficult or something, but it's something that you get every day, that you might have come out of a difficult therapy session, and I'll explain a little bit about that, and you might be a little irritated, and then you go to the desk and ask, you know, why hasn't this been done that I asked for a couple of days ago? And the way they just come back to you and understand your anger and mm-hmm. don't take it personally and just give you love back. It's just something I had never experienced before.
Wow.
So unconditional support wow. is what you find there.
Wow.
So the owner and doctor of this hacienda is Efrain Hoffman, Dr. Efrain Hoffman, and he went to school in medical school in Venezuela in the University of the Andes in Mérida City, which is the capital, a very, very, very good school. And he has an interesting family history because his parents lived in the hacienda. This was an hacienda that he inherited. He was mm-hmm. born in the hacienda.
Mm-hmm.
And his nanny still lives in the hacienda next
wow.
to his house.
Wow.
This was an orange hacienda. And Hoffman's father was also a doctor, a medical doctor, and he was well known in the area because he treated all of the local people for free.
Oh.
So this is something that this goodwill and love he inherited uh-huh. Uh-huh. as a family tradition. And so after he graduated, he went to Europe looking for other forms of medicine mm-hmm. to complement his knowledge mm-hmm. because he knew that that wasn't it for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he studied homeopathy and osteopathy and acupuncture and mm-hmm. many other things. And he began something that he calls the old medicine of the future.
Oh, wow.
And so he goes back to get very old traditions and incorporate them into the advances of the medical profession mm-hmm. and work that way. So I think the hacienda is a place where people go to go in with some sort of a problem. There's also, I have to say, there's also just a spa. You can go and just spend a day in a spa mm-hmm. or a weekend or a week and just, or you can go to have some, like, you know, a cleansing of your body through colonics and mm-hmm. liver cleansings and, you know, that sort of stuff.
But they also have diagnostic tools there.
Oh, yeah. They have him and two other doctors that mm-hmm. are always there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of amazing therapists of all kinds. And some therapists are for your body.
Mm-hmm.
And some therapies are for issues of your psychology and your traumas, old traumas. And the idea, I think, that struck me as the most interesting was that here's a place, and I know that there are others in the world, and it seems to be something that can help us go into a different direction in this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a place where people go with problems, baggage, and things that they can't figure out how to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience of being there takes you a whole body, mind, and spirit and scrubs it clean. Scrubs it clean through things like, you know, acupuncture and, like I said, the colonics and other physical ways of treating your body. But also your mind, because you do these therapies called rebirthing, which take you back into traumatic experiences so that you can relive them and mm-hmm. let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so many times stored in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to get to those stored memories in your body is to do these other kinds of therapies that are also done there and that are required if you're doing any kind of serious, mm-hmm. you know, healing. Mm-hmm. That are called psychocorporeal, and they are massages. They're kind of an offshoot of Rolfing, mm-hmm. so that they look for the spots in your body where your traumas are stored. And it's amazing how you can lie on a massage table and be touched and be told, oh, here's a problem that you had in about that era of your life, and it deals with this or that issue. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Or in the present, you have issues with your mother or your men or, you know, whatever. But they can find where these things are stored, so that then you can go back and keep working. There's also a psychotherapist mm-hmm. and group therapies if you want to participate. Mm-hmm. And so that the combination, and there's also an amazing pool, and there's, you know, there are saunas and steam rooms and mud treatments and all kinds of other mm-hmm. Physical experiences that are for your healing process. So the there's also the 6:30 in the morning bell that wakes you up, and before you have anything to eat or anything, you just go straight to the exercise room, and you exercise for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And that hour and a half is strong exercises, which can be Tai Chi, can be yoga, can be Taibo, can be anything. I mean, aerobics, can be anything. Mm-hmm. It changes all the time. And then after you finish with that, you do a half an hour of meditation, and then you can go and have your yogurt and fruit and granola for the morning, and go on to do all the rest of your day. And in the evening, again, before dinner, you go and have another 1.5 hour session of exercise.
Wow. Wow.
And then another half hour of meditation. And wow. Then you go have your dinner.
Wow.
So it's a routine that really, you know, between your conversations with Efrain, which are always so deep and so nurturing and so amazing, fruitful, and this routine of taking care of your body and your mind and your spirit all the time, you sometimes don't realize while you're there how much this is changing you. The way you see life and the way you deal with your own self. But when you come out, and the idea is to come out, you know, a little bit at a time, I spent 4 months there.
Wow.
This great winter that everybody was having such a hard time with, I was swimming in this amazing place and being nurtured and loved. So it was very lucky. But when you come out, you begin to understand how your thought patterns and behavior patterns have changed, mm-hmm. or have at least began to change. How you look at something or are confronted by a situation and you are about to react the old way, and then you say, I'm it's not the way, that's not my responsible way of dealing with myself and mm-hmm. my body and my mind and my spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the other person. Compassion for the other person is one of the things that is always being worked on. Mm-hmm. So you just get this new way. I think what comes out of this is the knowledge that it's really your own responsibility to take care of your body, that your health depends on you and nothing else. Mm-hmm. That if you take care of your body, you won't get sick. And if you do get sick, you have ways of healing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has healed people. I run into a girl there during one of the sessions, group therapies, where she was, everybody's telling their story, and I actually heard her story in one of his tapes, and I didn't know she was the same person. Gorgeous girl, she's in her 20s, and she had walked into the hacienda 2 years earlier. I mean, I say walked, but she couldn't walk. She couldn't walk, she had rheumatoid arthritis. And she was obese, and she was incapable of dealing with her life, and she was 20 years old, and Efrain had a talk with her, and she agreed to completely put her life in his hands. And he did a lot of research of how to treat a situation like this one, even traveled to Europe for this particular case, and had her go into a 40-day fast.
Wow.
40-day fast.
Wow.
And the girl today has no rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow.
And I have shots of her dancing to the drums.
Wow.
And then she's in mid-career to be a lawyer. And you just cannot believe this when you see it. And this is supposed to be a sickness that is incurable, according to Western medicine.
Yeah. So the hacienda, you've spoken a lot about it. It seems a very, a sort of a safe and complete environment where people can just become immersed in all these, not just a diversity of therapies, but I know you were telling me they also, they're committed to eco-agriculture, book publishing. They have kind of all different components of health care, spiritual care, body care, mental care. But also the thing I've heard you just in conversation mention over and over again that seems to have made the biggest impact on you is the personal commitment of Dr. Hoffman and his attitudes towards both people who come for healing. I think you also told me that one of the therapists came to the hacienda originally as a cleaning person, and he just was able, Dr. Hoffman saw her gift and said, you should be healing people. So I would just wonder what you have to say about kind of that personal connection.
That is a that's a fantastic quality of Efrain Hoffman and of the hacienda, where he is always looking for talent in anybody that he sees, talent to heal, particularly, even if it's self-heal or any other talent that the person might have, because he considers this place to be an endogenous place, which means that the people who come, people who are there working, are mostly trained there. They might have come in either as patients or, like in this case, she came as a janitor of sorts, or you might be behind a desk, or and he might pick up that you have a talent, and then he makes sure that you develop that talent, and so that he's not importing people from other places. He is making the therapist grow and train there. And that woman that you mentioned, I was funny because he was giving a lecture and she walked in, and he said, this is our star therapist. This walked in, and it was the same woman that had come in to clean.
Wow, wow. well, we've just gotten the our time is up. That's all the time we have for today. Oh, thank you so much, Isabel, for coming. We could talk to you all afternoon. Maybe we'll have you back some other time. So, folks, thanks for listening. Our next show will air Monday, July 18th. That'll be a report back from the Allied Media Conference. Before that, Wednesday, June 29th at 6:30 p.m., come and join Lauren and I for a weed walk. We'll be meeting at the Community Garden, corner of Columbia and 2nd Street. We'll also post that on the Facebook page. And email us there or contact us if you have any questions or suggestions. And thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in July or sooner at the weed walk.
Thank you, Isabel.
Thank you.